author is often accused of using tension to win diplomatic advantage.
To a certain extent, these provocations may be North Korea's way of diverting the public's attention away from its failures on the economic front.
The North Koreans are always doing this. They create a crisis in order to solve a crisis.
Well, it's a bit of a deadly riddle at this point. Guess the reason why North Korea fired artillery onto a South Korean island. And the death toll now up to 4 people in South Korea, including 2 civilians. Everything that happened that goes on in North Korea is always a bit of a mystery since it's so isolated and closed off. That's why they call it, as you said, the Hermit Kingdom. And to try and get some answers, we have to go to somebody who's actually been there. Charles Armstrong was one of the few people who's actually spent some real time in North Korea. He's the director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you've been hearing all these different theories, everybody trying to reason out why North Korea shot artillery shells at the South Korean island. And I'm wondering, why do you think?
Well, if I knew, I could do very well in the U.S. government. I really don't know if anyone has the definitive answer. There are a couple of possibilities. One, which has often been said, is that the successor leader, Kim Jong-un, is using this to establish support of the military and to show that he's a tough leader. The other possibility is that it's sending a signal to the United States, along with the revelation of the centrifuges a few days ago, that North Korea should be taken seriously and wants to talk again. Both of these may be true, but no one knows for sure.
Well, who do you think the United States is the principal audience that the North Koreans are playing to?
No, as in most things, this is really for a domestic audience, which in the North Korean case means the internal leadership. So I think the primary purpose of this is probably to demonstrate within the leadership, and particularly to the military, that North Korea is standing up to the South and is standing up to the United States.
You know, Professor, I wonder if I could run a theory by you. Chris Hill over in Britain in an interview with the BBC was, I suspect, speculating that there's a scenario whereby this could have been a rogue North Korean officer acting inappropriately in response to the South Korean war games. Does that even remotely sound plausible to you?
That's possible, but it's hard to believe an action of this nature could be taken without the approval of the senior military leadership. So I think that although the rogue officer scenario is possible, it's not very likely. This is reminiscent of another action which took place in 1976, in the infamous axe murder incident in which a number of North Korean soldiers hacked to death an American officer in the DMZ over a dispute over a tree that was blocking the American view of the North. So these things do tend to escalate, and that also created a very severe crisis situation.
But this fear of the United States, a fear of the outside world, of the U.S. and South Korea as the U.S. as a U.S. puppet, is something that the North Korean government uses in their propaganda towards their own people, right?
That's absolutely true. The North Korean people are told every day that the U.S. is their enemy, that they are surrounded by hostile forces, that South Korea is in a situation of belligerence with them. And, of course, this is useful to mobilize a population which is really going through severe economic hardship and get them to support their leadership to defend them against these hostile outside forces.
And if the hostilities escalate, what does the North Koreans have to gain? Clearly, they've lost. South Korea has said they're cutting off aid, and they're asking other relief agencies to cut off aid that North Korea desperately needs at this point. What else? What do they stand to gain from escalating tensions?
Of course, the North Koreans would benefit from more aid, but the number one priority of the leadership is to stay in power and to preserve their regime. Their concern is to maintain their system at a high alert, to show the world that they have a deterrent force, and in recent years, that deterrence has been largely their nuclear force.
But, and yet there are these theories saying that they're reaching that breaking line, the point at which the people of North Korea are in a state where they're dissatisfied with the government, dissatisfied with their own plight, suffering from a food crisis, and the propaganda coming from the government or the stories that they're hearing from Kim Jong-il no longer satisfy them anymore. Do you think we're perhaps reaching that breaking point?
It's very hard to say. There are reports of dissatisfaction coming out of North Korea. There's a lot more information that North Korean people get from the outside world than in the past. They can get broadcasts from South Korea. That's illegal, of course, but it's more and more possible due to the penetration of broadcasts from South Korea. It's also from China. There are 260-some thousand cell phones in North Korea, so there's communication with the outside world in a way that wasn't possible before. So the North Korean people are not as isolated as they were in past years. But there's no mechanism to express dissatisfaction except the very risky one of leaving the country. In terms of the economic situation, things are not as grim as they were in the late 1990s when perhaps a million people or more died of starvation. The economic situation has actually stabilized to some extent. The real danger facing the regime, in fact, is when things get better. Not when they're at their worst and people are aware that there are that the situation is so much worse than it is outside. We don't seem to reach that point yet, but no one knows when that could happen.
Is the strategy of either the North or the South to take over control, to get control of the entire Korean Peninsula at this point?
Unification is the goal on both sides, but the South Korean people don't want to bear the cost of absorbing this huge poor population. And the North Koreans, I think, know that the cost of war would be enormous and that they couldn't realistically win in a conflict in any reasonable and easy way.
That is Charles Armstrong. He's the director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University. Actually spent time in North Korea. Are you going back anytime soon?
We'll see. Only if the situation changes for the better. That might not be soon.
A little too dangerous right now. Charles Armstrong, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.